Let's talk about the Cup race at Fontana. Yes, that's right. I'm finally doing a weekend fantasy NASCAR podcast, but there is a catch. I'm recording this Saturday morning, 10:21 a.m., so we have not seen practice two. We have not seen practice three. So my projections, which again are my John Henry projections, not a mathematical projection, just for myself. But if you purchase the sheet, then you can see where I'm heading. Those are going to change when I look at the lap-by-lap data in the sheet for practice two, and especially the lap-by-lap data for practice three, which will be hopefully in similar conditions. I don't know what the wind is doing so far this morning. We'll have to tune in to practice to see, is the wind crazy again? But typically, our last practice, our happy hour practice, is the most similar to racing conditions. And then we'll look at what is the car doing 10 laps, 11 laps, 12 laps, 15 laps, and maybe even 20 laps. How is the fall off? If some drivers are really managing the fall off, then we can probably believe in them. Also, practice two, practice three are going to be really important for making our picks, because we're going to see, is there going to be pack racing? Will we get 10 to 15 laps of pack racing, or will we get a traditional Fontana where two, three crazy laps and then they spread out and they get strung out? And that's definitely going to be a different fantasy play, where we see the lap leader scoring a lot of laps led points, completely separating and getting a lot of hog points at Atlanta and Las Vegas. That did eventually happen, but we also were able to see fast laps coming throughout the field because these cars are limited in their speed. We'll see what happens. Fall off definitely is going to be a big deal too, which will favor probably the leader, and that's assuming that the leader is the guy that manages his tires the best. Those are things that we'll have to factor in after practice two and practice three. So you have to look at the spreadsheet, which you can get at dfsnotes.com, raceforthepryse.com. $5 for the cup sheet. You send me $5 through Venmo, $5 through PayPal. I'll send you access to the sheet. You get to see all the updated numbers. Again, this podcast, I'm recording it before practice two and practice three. So don't listen to this podcast and say, punching in these guys, I'm going to win the money. No, but you can take the information that I'm providing here and get a base, get an idea of where you might head and who you might start to take out of your pool, who you might want to throw into your player pool to try to differentiate from the other players. So we'll just go real quickly over the guys that I want to talk about, start maybe from the top to the bottom, and try to make this quick because I know your Sunday morning is probably going to be rushed. We have a small window for this podcast, but I'm hoping to get a lot of clicks. I think we can get a lot of clicks for this podcast. Again, this is the picks for, you know, after all practices. There are other shows you can listen to, other guys that do the post all practices and they've had time to do analysis. I won't have time to do that, and I don't want to do that, because then it's like, why buy the spreadsheet if he's already given the information? And that's kind of a terrible thing to do to people who buy the spreadsheet. I paid for this thing and then he just gives it away for free. Not going to do that. So look, Austin Dillon, I run him through the projections. I give him a fifth place finish. That might be a little high for most people. But if he doesn't make mistakes, he's going to be in clean air for most of the race. He has a really good chance of staying in the top 10. As long as he stays in the top 10, he can possibly finish fifth. Now, he has not been good on restarts, and you can see that in the spreadsheet. And he has not had really good green flag speed, but if you trust your eyeballs, when he has been up front, he has been fine. They've played strategy and they've tried to do things and it hasn't really worked out. But if he can maintain his track position, he should be fine. But that all being said, if I give him a fifth place finish and I give him 10 hog points, which I think is fair, maybe you want to bump that up. You can bump it up in your spreadsheet. You can download the spreadsheet once you pay it to your drive, and then you can go and do your own projections. But my projections, I'm giving him 10 hog points. I'm sorry, I just cannot see him leading much more laps. Now, sometimes we have a race where Austin Dillon's starting up front, maybe I would consider him, but when you got Kevin Harvick second, Kyle Busch fourth, Joey Logano fifth, I don't know how he holds those guys off. The best bet for him, the best scenario, is that these guys battle behind him and he is able to run out front. But I don't see that happening. I could see that happening at a Las Vegas. I could see that happening at a track that really only has one groove. We have multiple grooves at this track, a lot like we saw at Phoenix. So this first start to the race should be madness. And there's a good chance that Austin Dillon doesn't get any hog points. That in the madness that ensues, Busch, Logano, Harvick come up on him and somebody passes him. If this was a one groove racetrack, or there wasn't a lot of places to go, or there was one groove that didn't get going, then I could see Dillon separating and then people battling and then kind of sandbagging themselves while Austin Dillon runs away. I don't see that as likely, but I want to make sure that I don't just completely tear him out of my player pool, so I'm giving him 10. I would say that's the max before tires factor in and he gets run down. Now, he does have the number one pit stall, and he could use strategy to get back to the front, but in the end, 10 hog points is all I'm giving him at the moment. Again, practice two, practice three, could change my mind. I don't know. One thing I will make note, if you're using the spreadsheet, make sure that you check when Dylan goes out, because he could, like we saw last week at Phoenix, really fast in practice three. And oh my God, this is the practice to look at. And they're on top of the charts the entire time. And that's one of the problems when you trust the 10-lap average and you only trust the single lap average. You have to factor in, well, when exactly did he run those 10 laps? And if you looked at the lap-by-lap data, and I believe I talked about this in a podcast, I'm not sure, but he and Hemric laid down their 10 laps at the very beginning of practice when the track had its most grip. It was not rubbered up. It was not hot and slippery. And if you looked at his runs later on, they were not as fast. So be careful if Austin Dillon pops off on the 1 and 10 lap averages, because you want to make sure that he runs those at a comparable time to the other drivers. If he's really fast at the beginning of the run, but then slow at the end of the run, or in his second or third run in practice, I would be a little more worried about Dylan. But again, I run him through the optimizer, and he does not show up, which may be a little surprising, but 7,400. I'm giving him negative four place differential points because I still think end of the race, fifth is the best that he could do. He gets 45 fantasy points. That's a 6.1 FPPK, so that's not too far off. But what I'm looking at is guys in that value range that he is competing with that are, I mean, let's see. In that range, we've got guys like Paul Menard, who's cheaper, who I'm getting a 5.8 from him. Alex Bohm, who's cheaper, I'm getting a 5.6. William Byron, who's cheaper, and I'm getting a 5.5. And I don't believe that my projections for those guys are exaggerated at all. Those are the guys that he's competing with. You can even throw Daniel Suarez in there as possible. And so you put him into that group, and he is scoring the most, but he also, I don't think you could go anywhere near him in a cash play. There's way too much risk. He is returning a decent value, but he is not showing up in the optimal. Kevin Harvick, we've talked a lot about this. I'm not going to spend much time. The issue we're running with Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch is that they are very expensive, and it is very hard in this package, especially in a race where we only have 200 laps, to optimize their value or to be optimal. I know last week Kyle Busch pulled it off, but that was a short track. Don't at me. It's a short track, folks. And don't say, well, it used to be short track. Just stop. It's over. We're not going to talk about Phoenix until November. I guess it's my fault for bringing that up. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, it's very tough. They have to destroy hog point wise. I just ran an optimizer. Again, these are really early. And Harvick did not show up. Busch did not show up. And I am giving Harvick, I believe, 35 hog points. That's a pretty good amount considering that, look, he's in a good spot where he can get up front and he can run away. And we talked all week about he could have probably ran away with the Las Vegas race had it not been for his terrible pit stall. Maybe that could have happened. We don't know. But he's in a spot where he can definitely dominate stage one. And he can come out and be in control in stage two. Now, here's another crazy curveball that we have not seen yet. We have never seen this at Fontana. No one's talking about this. And this may be a crazy theory. But we know at Pocono, and we know at these big long tracks, that if you're close enough to the leader, you can pit with three laps left, stay on the lead lap, and then everyone else has to pit, and you stay out, and you take the lead. We've seen that at Pocono. That's a longer track. It's a little bit different. You really couldn't do that at Fontana in the past because of two reasons. One, the speeds. Now, the speeds are still pretty high. I know we want to say, well, they've lowered the horsepower, the cars are slowing down. That's not really the case because what we've done with the downforce is we've sped up the corners. So the speeds, they're a little bit slower, so that's not going to be a question. But the issue is, and we don't know if we're going to see this or not, but if the leader doesn't pull away from the third or fourth place car, and that's pretty much what it'll have to be, then the third or fourth place car may possibly consider pitting early before the end of the stage. They do their service, they get back on the track, they stay on the lead lap, and then at the end of the stage, everyone else has to pit, and then that guy inherits the lead. And we know, just like at Pocono, track position means everything. That probably won't happen. That's probably too daring of a maneuver, and a lot of these crew chiefs really won't go that far. And if you're in the top five, and I think that's probably where you need to be, then you're probably not going to take the risk. But I will plant that seed of destruction in your mind, unfortunately. I'm sorry that it just popped in my head. Yeah, but if Kevin Harvick wins stage one, more than likely he's going to come out and have the lead in stage two. And that's what he needs to do to really hit value, because Unless, I mean, a lot of the questions come down to how this package races, and we might have a better idea in practice two and three, where the guy gets out 4 or 5 seconds, like we saw Truex just obliterate the field last year with a traditional race. If we get long green flag runs, which we should get green flag runs, and if you want to go back and check the podcast from earlier this week, Fontana is an interesting place where we could get a lot of green, and it's a very green race, but typically this thing goes into caution mode at the end, which shouldn't affect our hogs. It should, unless, of course, they get into a wreck, but that more so affects the value plays, the guys that were off the grid who then pop onto the grid, or the guys that were off our radar as value plays who all of a sudden get 5 place differential points they didn't deserve because we went to a caution fest at the end. That is more of that question. For the most part, the Fontana race, the hogs should be fine, unless this whole variable of the pack racing, this thing turns into a plate race for 10 to 15 laps. Then, you know, lap sled's going to be fine. It's still impossible to pass the leader. I don't see anyone passing the leader. But for Harvick and for Kyle Busch, I also need fast lap points. Again, 35 points in the optimizer, and he was not optimal. It's a tough play. So it's still early. I've got all day to decide. That's another reason. Maybe check out the spreadsheet, see where my ideas go, but also make your own assumptions and beliefs. I would not take a stand right now. I would wait closer to the race and think more about it. And even if you do take a stand, you're probably going to want varying exposures. I've told this story millions of times, several times where I've taken hard stands where I said the guy's too expensive and he can't hit, and they've still hit. Kyle Busch in the truck race a couple weeks ago, most famously Sonoma race, Kevin Harvick and Martin Truex Jr. still were able to pull it off. So never say never. Justin Bieber, shout out to the Canadian. Logano is in a much better place. Kozlowski is in a much better place. We know that the Penske cars are fast. Logano, right up there in the front row, which I think is going to be absolutely necessary to get hog points and laps led, and that's pretty much been the case so far. Even though we've seen guys make their way through the field, Brad Kozlowski a couple races ago, Joe Logano, and get up there eventually. But in this race, you know, so I wouldn't rule out some of the guys in the back, but it is definitely an advantage for Logano, and he's going to have a preferred pit stall. So I'm not really worried about that, but his price is really good, and it's not that hard for Joey Logano to pay off. So that being said, I got to imagine that Logano is going to be popular, and Kozlowski is going to be popular too. Now, Kozlowski is a little bit more expensive, but that's offset by his qualifying position, which is 13th. So we know Kozlowski can move up front, and we know that he can also get the hog points. We've already seen him do it this year. Now, this isn't as extreme as him starting 18th, but that's fine. 13th at this price, he's going to be popular too. Kozlowski and Logano look really safe. There's a little bit more concern with Harvick and Busch. Now, there definitely is a direct path for Harvick to get enough hog points to be optimal. There's definitely a path for Busch to do it as well. But it seems a lot easier for Logano to hit value. Seems a lot easier for Kozlowski to hit value. And we know those cars are fast. We know Harvick's fast. We know that Busch is fast. It's just going to be... Oh, I should already go ahead and talk about this, but Truex is going to... So we have to put Truex in this conversation, because if you're rostering Harvick, you're also rostering Truex, which isn't that terrible, because Truex is way too cheap this week. I said this in the price check at DraftKings, that there's no reason to drop his price. He won here last year, should have won here the year before that, and if you've listened to any of the podcasts, I keep going on and on and on, and also in my playbook article. This is probably the fastest car. If you were to ask me right now, clearly there's the big three. I'm going to lean towards Kyle Busch as the fastest, but he's not very much faster than Martin Truex Jr., and I would put Harvick right there next to Truex. All three of them are showing a lot of speed, which I still like Truex and Busch more because they've done it in dirty air. And I know last year it was Harvick and Busch, and then Truex was kind of like a distant third. That's not the case this year. I really have got Busch, Truex just behind Busch, and then Harvick kind of right there with Truex, if you're asking me. And that's not just my gut. That's based on green flag speed. That's based on restart speed. That's based on driver rating. That's based on the data. I'm weighing those fast laps that he ran in dirty air, because that's really important, being able to work. I mean, look at last week. Kevin Harvick could not get through traffic. Joey Logano could not get through traffic. Now, I know it's Phoenix. It's a different racetrack, but Martin Truex did get through traffic. Martin Truex got through traffic in every single race. If he could ever get by the leader, if he could get the right pit stall or pit movement, then it would be a different story. But as far as driver and machine go, Truex has done everything that you need to see in a fantasy NASCAR pick. And at $10,000, it is very hard not to pick him. He's got to be the most popular play of the week. If you didn't watch qualifying, he's starting 27th. Because qualifying was BS. It was absolute nonsense. Finally, we had the apocalyptic moment that we were waiting on to blow up this terrible qualifying. I talked about it all week, that qualifying was going to mess up our fantasy plays, and it did it again. It's not as bad as last week. We don't have super chalk, so I believe that you can go a little bit heavier. You'll know last week I warned, like, look, you don't really want to go too heavy this week because this is definitely a 150 mass player week. When you had Kyle Larson, you had Clint Boyer, you had the chalk in the back. It was not a good week. I predicted last week that we were going to get 30 guys tying for the lead. I was wrong. It was 35 guys. 35 guys split the money. So I don't want to go heavy when I know I'm going to split the money. I can't afford to do that. If you are a player that can take that risk, more power to you. But this week, so far what I see, it's not nearly as bad. Now, I can change my mind. It's Saturday morning. We'll see where we go from there. Okay, let's flip through some more guys here. Denny Hamlin's fine, but we've seen him go backwards. One of these weeks, he's going to hit. And practice two and practice three are really going to help me define what I'm going to do with Denny Hamlin. But right now, it's a no. Some of these guys I don't really feel like talking about because I'm not going to talk about everybody. Get the sheet. Check out the sheet. DFSnotes.com, RaceForThePrize.com, Venmo me it, PayMal me it. Venpo and PayMal. PayPal, Venmo, help me pay for the daycare. That's the whole cause of this. If you have not been listening to the podcast, got alarmingly high daycare costs, just like everybody else. I know we all go through the same thing, but hey, here's an opportunity for my family to make a little bit of a dent in that. You say, is your family helping you with the spreadsheet? No, they're not. Wish they were, but actually they are, because my wife right now is watching the child for a couple minutes while I record this podcast, which is the only reason it exists, is to promote the spreadsheet. Jimmy Johnson, I don't know what to do with Jimmy Johnson. And I don't worry about that practice one super fast lap. That was, I got to believe, was in drafting. But not to say, well, it's in drafting, just throw it out. That's not the case at all. Let's see how practice two and practice three figure out what are we going to do with laps. We looked at Las Vegas, we looked at Atlanta, and it was really difficult to read the lap by lap data. What I'm hoping is, even if they do draft, that we see cars with fall off and cars that don't have fall off, and we match it up with the practice and we watch it on the screen and we get a better idea of what's going to happen. Stenhouse at 12, no problem with Stenhouse at all. I've already kind of made my bed for the Stenhouse play. I don't want to say I'm all in, but like I've said before in the podcast, I've turned the page. This is a new chapter in the life of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. As I've also told you that maybe you need to turn the page in Kevin Harvick at these high prices in this package, that don't just keep going back to Harvick because he was scoring a lot of points last year. And don't keep fading Truex Stenhouse. This package was built for Stenhouse. It works really well for him. I was on the record saying I would roster him up to around 8th place. No problem. You look at the advanced data, you look at the numbers for Stenhouse, 10th green flag speed, 10th. And he was in traffic for a couple of those, for that Atlanta race because of penalties. 9th on restarts, and Fontana can come all down to restarts at the end. We've seen Stenhouse go in both directions, actually. We've seen him at Fontana hang where he needs to do it and then have a bad restart during the restart madness at the end, and we've seen him a couple times benefit and grab five spots that they didn't deserve. Stenhouse definitely going to be in my player pool. If you ask me Stenhouse or Dylan, I'm going Stenhouse. The interesting angle there is, I wonder what the public's going to do. Because these are two guys, I don't know what the complete perception is. We know what the perception is on Ricky Stenhouse Jr. People hate him, he's a wreck master, he's not approved of. Even at plate tracks where we know he does well, people still shy away from Ricky Stenhouse. Now, his salary helps affect that, but we do know at the plate races, salary doesn't really matter anyway. And his starting position also affects his ownership too, because we're all trying to go to the back and he's always starting up near the front. The bigger question is Dylan. So even when Dylan, people don't mind starting Dylan when he starts in the 20s. But again, that's everybody. We'll take value anywhere. The question is, when he gets in the teens, when he starts first, what is the perception of Dylan? Do people take those biases of this silver spoon kid who's ranting on the radio, burying his team every week, complaining about his team every week? Do those things factor in, which shouldn't really factor into your selection of a fantasy NASCAR player? I don't know. This is a question right now, what his ownership will be. And I don't do ownerships, unfortunately. You'll have to go to your other touts for that kind of data. I think Awesomeo does it. I believe RotoViz does it. Maybe RotoGrinders does it. I don't know. Why is this guy promoting other sites? I'll tell you why I'm promoting other sites. Because you can use my sheet to supplant your process. Don't say process! Your way of playing fantasy NASCAR or your research. You can do it. And because that's what I do. And I don't read anybody else's stuff. maybe it's a degree of laziness, maybe it's a degree of pride, but I'm just going to trust the numbers. I'm going to trust what I see on TV, and there's specific real racing experts that I'll look to for information. And maybe that's a weakness in my own way of playing. I think there are times where I read other stuff, but I'm not going to go behind a paywall. I'm not interested in that. Wait a second. You're not going to pay for someone else, but you expect us to pay? Oh, I expect you to pay because it's just $5. You buy it today, you don't buy it tomorrow. You don't have to buy it next week. You don't have to buy it for 3 more months. You can get heavy into baseball this year, and then you're like, you know what? Kind of bored with baseball. I'll go back into NASCAR, throw $5 my way. There is no commitment whatsoever. That's why I like this program. That's why I like this plan. And also, I like earning the $5 here, $5 there. It really helps take a dent out of those daycare costs. But also, you can supplement. If you want the projections, sign up for Osmo, sign up for RotoGrinders, sign up for RotoViz, and stick with their stuff. And then occasionally say, you know what, I'm going to get the spreadsheet this week. I really want to look at the lap-by-lap data. I want to see where Pierce is going. I know his projections have no mathematical reasoning whatsoever, and they're just his gut, but you know what? His gut's been doing pretty well, so let's see what he thinks about this, and then let's compare them all. I think somebody messaged me saying they were kind of aggregating all the analysis and then punching it into their own system, which is a brilliant idea. If you've got the ability or the means to sign up for all these different programs and to punch them all into one to get a really good number, that's very smart. Credit to you. Short answer, I don't know. I'd say, man, Stenhouse or Dillon? Stenhouse. Oh, I'm playing Stenhouse, so I'll just go with my gut. Stenhouse will be more popular. Brad Keselowski, yes, please. I like Logano more, but I think Keselowski will be more chalk because people will just always go to the safer place differential. There's no guarantee that Logano is going to get hog points, but there is a near guarantee that Keselowski will get you place differential points. I believe the public will go in that direction. I have no problem shifting to Logano. I shifted to Logano last week. I thought that was a smarter play to kind of get away from some of the other chalkier plays to get a little bit of differentiation. And it looked like it was going to work out till he went for those tires at the end and those guys just got stuck in traffic. That hurt. I had a fine week, but could have had a really good week. I still believe. Now, I'm not, and I've told you this before, don't go back and say, it was the right play, blah, blah, blah. Because clearly it was not the right play. It did not work. So you got to make sure that you admit when you made mistakes and think, what could I have done differently? I look back and I'm fine with the decision and I'm fine that it didn't work out. So here we are again this week. Should I go with Logano and make that play? And if Logano gives you lower ownership, then I don't fault that at all. Safer going with Keselowski. The problem with going safer is in a game where you only pick 6 drivers and there's a lot of guys mass entering, it's going to be very difficult to separate yourself on the top. Hopefully you only split the $100,000 with 5 people. That's definitely a lot of cash. That is really awesome. And maybe that'll work with Keselowski. Maybe it won't, though, because hopefully his price will scare some people away. Chris Buescher at 14th. I'll have to think about it, but again, there's better plays in that high sixes to low sevens range this week. He should be fine. He's had fine race trim. He's going to hang around, but I just don't know how much further ahead he can get. He's fine, but I just wonder, point per dollar wise, if he is the best player. Not taking him out. He's there, though. Kyle Larson is your cheaper version, probably, of Brad Keselowski. You're going to save yourself almost $1,000. He has the same amount of potential. I know there is a bit of a worry that, well, he hasn't been fast in traffic. Did you watch that Las Vegas race? That's true, but he also had a penalty in that Las Vegas race. Not that worried, not that concerned. Larson's been really good at the 2-mile tracks. We all know that. He knows the feel. He knows what he's looking for here. Won in 2017. Last year, he got rammed into the... didn't get rammed into the wall. He got rammed by, or doored by, Kevin Harvick. Damage to his car. Still was able to finish second. That's quite impressive. Because, now this is a track with worn out tires. It is like a giant dirt track, I've heard it compared to, which definitely favors Kyle Larson. And there is some speed up near the wall, so that maybe offsets a little of the aero damage that he had to deal with. But still, he had aero damage and was able to outrun a lot of race cars. Not the leader. You're not catching the leader in the old package. We'll see what happens in the new package. Another mention I want to make of with Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski seemed to have found something near the wall in that Las Vegas race, almost past Logano. In the Xfinity cars last year on the TV broadcast, Keselowski talked about you go up against the wall and you run near the wall. In these Xfinity cars, there's a bit of a cushion. There's an air cushion. You get a lot of speed. It really works. There is a similarity between the new Cup car that's low powered to the Xfinity car in that sense. So you could see guys running near the wall. That could be a slight advantage for Brad Keselowski, who knows how to use that wall Fontan. Just throwing that out there. Ty Dillon, no way, Jose. Sorry, can't do it. 16th. When I look at the drivers that are already behind him, I mean, Jones should finish ahead of him. Suarez could give him a run for his money. Kurt Busch should pass him. Alex Bowman's going to give him a run for his money. Paul Menard's going to give him a run for his money. Martin Truex Jr. These are guys all behind him who could only push Ty Dillon back. If Ty Dillon wants to go forward, he's got to outrace Larson. Probably not going to happen. Buescher, they're going to battle. Keselowski, not going to happen. Stenhouse, I don't see it happening. Johnson, maybe. Blaney, no. Boyer, Elliott, Newman. Maybe Newman slides back, but still, he's a hard guy to pass. It's just, I don't see Dillon going forward. Now, at his spot, that's at 29 fantasy points. That's not going to get it done. If he finishes where he starts, at 28. Sorry, not going to happen. More likely that he slides backwards. He had a good week last week, but a lot of that was due to other people screwing up. Now, other people screwing up can happen. It absolutely can. But if you're counting on that, getting that five bumps, then you want to take someone who's a little bit dead. You want to take a guy in 20th who is going to get those five spots. If people screw up, it doesn't really help Ty Dillon that much. I don't see him jumping up to the top 10. More likely when people make mistakes and they bump back to the end of the lead lap or whatever, you go from 20th to 15th. At 15th, if people make mistakes, doesn't necessarily move you forward, at least in my theory there. Hemric, I would put him in the same situation. Jones, I could see going forward. I believe he'll be pretty popular. We've seen him do this same play, I think, at Atlanta and Las Vegas. Very similar. And he's going to fit in that range where he might actually end up being the last guy that you slide into your lineup. Reagan is in Ty Dillon's spot of last week. So he falls in that category of what I just talked about. Starting around 20th, hanging on to the lead lap so that when people make pit road penalties or have mistakes. Now, Fontana's not necessarily a place where we have a lot of pit road penalties. It's not. So I don't know if you can count on that, but mistakes happen, issues occur. If he can just hang on the lead lap and those guys have that issue, he moves up a spot. And if enough good cars make mistakes, he could possibly slide forward. Now, you also have to take in the fact that he's got a couple really good cars starting behind him who could easily push him back. He could stay on the lead lap like Ty Dillon last week and have it be a good play. It's risky. If you ended up in a build where you're flopping around a lot of these sub $6,000 drivers, then I am completely fine with that. Ty Dillon was not a favorite by anybody last week. Now, someone's going to say, yeah, I loved him last week. Sure you did. You played 30 different value play variations. And so, sure you loved him. But you also loved Ross Chastain, David Reagan, Michael McDowell, Landon Castle as well. So don't feed me that line. Well, I believed in him. And you believed in those other guys, or you wouldn't have put them in your 150-player pool. Reagan works out in that way, but he's not, like, if I was going one value play, I don't know, one value play in cash, no. One value play in GPP where you're really trying to be different, then sure, I have no problem with that being the risk. But I might try to go a little bit cheaper to help stack the top of my lineup. Kurt Busch, his price has gone up, so that should drop his ownership a little bit, but Kurt Busch starting 21st, 6 green flag speed, 6 restart speed, very smart print strategy. We'll hear Jeff Gordon and Waltrip talk about Jazzy again. I have him projected as his highest ceiling would be a third place finish. Might be a little high, but I have no problem with him putting him in there. Did he get in the optimal right there? I don't think he optimizes. He did optimize. So my first run of the optimizer, Logano, Truex, Kurt Busch, Paul Menard, Austin Dillon is in this one. Austin Dillon is in this projection. I adjusted it a little bit. I think I tweaked a couple guys, and Ryan Preece makes it. That is very interesting that I tinkered around because Austin Dillon was not originally in it. That's scary. That is terrifying me at the moment. Do we not have any money left over? We have $200. You can get up to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Why is Stenhouse? Because Stenhouse scores 43 fantasy points and Dillon scores 45 fantasy points. So it's very close. Clearly, as practice happens and we adjust people and tinker here or there, that's going to change. And maybe 10 hog points is too much for Dillon, and maybe a fifth place finish is too much. If that sounds like too much, then he is not optimal. And while I go, I'll make a change to that right now just to see what happens. This guy's just trying to force him out of your lineups. Why you gotta go against Austin Dillon? Let's give Dillon a sixth place finish. Again, that's very reasonable, very fair. Maybe too reasonable, too fair. And in terms of hog points, we will give him, and if you're new to the podcast, hog points are the points in which drivers hog. They don't really dominate a race. especially now that we have not seen domination this season whatsoever. You're simply hogging nonsense points that no one really cares about. Thus, I call them hog points. It's just a selfish stacking of statistics. And we'll dock Dylan down to 8 hog points. 9 would probably be fair, but we'll go down to all of it's fair. It's more than reasonable. So while this runs, I'll continue to talk some more about some of the guys that I like. Again, remember, this is before qualifying. This is 10:50 a.m. And I'm trying to knock this out of the way so that I can basically devote the next 5 hours off and on when I get to work on fantasy to Xfinity and then maybe go to bed and then wake up and talk about Fantasy NASCAR Cup Series. But by that time, it's too late to put out a podcast. You can only do a live show, and I don't know about doing live shows. Sometimes I think in live shows you give away too much information and the people who purchase the sheet are pretty much ripped off. I don't want to do that. I don't want... I mean, it's a reality, guys. If you watch some of these live shows for a lot of these websites, it's like, why should I sign up for a subscription at your site? All of your videos are giving away the goods. It's awesome. I love it. We kind of went through a period in the beginning of fantasy DFS in like 2013 where they're giving everything away. And then they paywalled everything. And now they've opened the door back up again. I don't know for what reason, why the business model. I think it's just competition. All of a sudden, we've had more competition because the rules have relaxed and fantasy and gambling are, again, a wide-open sport or contest or hobby like we saw. It's not a hobby for some people. This is a thing. It's a big deal. So a lot of people do this. I didn't realize how many white men are doing this until I read Andrew Yang's book. And apparently, like, we are all the same people. We all play video games, or we would love to go back to playing video games. We love gambling. We love fantasy sports. We would get into the stock market if we had the money to do it. We are interested in all of these things. We love sports. It is really weird how similar we all are. Like, for the longest time, I was like, nah, no one's like me. You know, no one played Magic the Gathering when they were a kid. Now, someone's out there, I didn't play Magic the Gathering. You're a nerd. Well, you played Call of Duty all the time, or you're playing Fortnite, so don't judge me, all right? We both have our own nerdy vices. But you're growing up, you feel like, man, I'm the only person that's interested in this stuff. I'm such a nerd. And you live in your bubble. You don't share those things as a kid because there wasn't really an internet or message boards to do it. And so you kind of just kept it to yourself because you didn't want to get bullied, or you were trying to get girls and you knew for a fact that girls hated that stuff. Now, apparently, girls love it. So I ran the optimizer again. I got Logano. We got Truex. We got Kurt Busch. Ricky Stenhouse comes in, Bernard, and then Ryan Priest. Bernard's the guy I've been talking about all week. You say, oh, well, you talked about him all week. That's why you're throwing him in your lineup. The numbers look good for Menard. They really do. When I look down, I look at green flag speed. I look at restarts. Well, maybe not green flag speed, but the restarts. And if this turns into a restart race, or this turns into a restart and just hold your position race, then Menard is fine. Menard's been a top 15 driver. So Menard starting, I know this has happened to us before. Menard starting 25th, loading up. And then that's blown up in our face. But if they play the pit strategy right and they don't have penalties, he has been, 14th at Atlanta, 15th at Las Vegas, and then 17th at Phoenix. Those are good. Do I have the driver rating numbers on here? I thought I put the driver rating numbers for the drivers. I'll have to double check and see why aren't my driver rating numbers there. Anyway, if I just look at average running position for Menard, and what we got? Why is that needs to be changed here? A little bit of an update in the sheet. Why don't you do that at some other time? Well, I'm doing it now. Deal with it, folks. I got to put the driver, make a note. I must have added driver rating to just the Xfinity this week. I got to get that driver rating back in there. I like that number. But if you look at Menard average running position, 18, 16, 16. Look, if he takes his average running position, yes. I will have a lot of Menard, but I believe everyone else is going to have a lot of Menard. I would put Menard above Dylan, no questions asked. No questions asked, Paul Menard above Dylan. And I've got him projected as, 15th place finish. That's fine. You can dial that down, too. Green flag speed, again, he wasn't as fast, but 12th on restarts, and this package is all about restarts, and that's probably why. I mean, looking at his green flag speed, 21st, his restart speed, though, is 12th, and that's kind of, you meet in the middle, and that's basically where Menard is finishing every week. So his package is working out halfway decent for Paul Menard. Where was it? Busch is fine. Byron is fine. The one I will make a note of this, I talked about this in the earlier podcast, Hendrick took a step forward from Atlanta to Las Vegas. Small sample size, so be careful. We're talking about literally two races, a good race and a bad race, or a bad race and a good race. But it was all four drivers for the most part. So that is what opens my eyes. If it was just one driver from Hendrick that made gains, then who cares? But when all four make gains from Atlanta to Las Vegas, then you kind of scratch your head and you think about it a little bit. Again, it is a small sample size, and you don't want to overreact either to guys like Daniel Hemric as an example. He had a good race and then a bad race. And again, my theory is that everyone else just caught up. But look, small sample size. I'm just coming up with my own idea right there. Byron and Bowman are guys that I'm throwing into that. So if I had to rank, I'm going to go Menard. I'm going Stenhouse just because I want to separate, and I know people are scared to death. Then I've got Bowman and Byron, and this is still before practice two, and then I'm taking Austin Dillon. Just can't believe in Austin Dillon, and I know it can be easily get burned there. But the way they've been racing, they make a mistake. If Austin Dillon makes a mistake again for the fourth race in a row, then you're good to go. You're fading Austin Dillon. If he makes one mistake, he is not going to rebound. It's just not going to happen. He can rebound and have a good race, but he's not going to hit value. So you're making the play based on a guy wrecking or making a mistake. That's a terrible... That's not the only thing, but I'm just letting that run through your head. There's other reasons why Austin Dillon starting first is not necessarily a play that I want to make. Again, he's got too many fast cars starting right next to him. Matt DiBenedetto, I'm not going to talk about everybody. Ryan Preece, whatever reason, he's optimal. I got him finishing 21st. I'm going to dial that down, which 21st is not that crazy for Ryan Preece. 6,200, putting him at 21st is not crazy. So he's definitely going to be in the pool this week. Let's dial it down to 23rd, which may be a little too harsh. But let's run the optimizer just to see if Preece survives this latest run of me knocking him down to a 23rd place finish from 26. Truex, chalk, not going to talk about. Bubba Wallace, under 6,000, it's interesting. When I look at him, I don't know. I'm not going to completely take him out, but he's going to go in your punt pool. If you're double punting like we did last week, which was the method to get a Kyle Busch or a Kevin Harvick, and if you're rostering a Kyle Busch or a Kevin Harvick this week, that also means you're rostering a $10,000 Martin Truex Jr., which means you're probably double punting. And if you're double punting, Bubba Wallace is going to be in your double punt pool. He's going to be in everyone else's double punt pool. So as Harvick's ownership or Busch ownership goes up, that lifts with it these punts that are going to be necessary, and everyone is going to fish around in the same pool of Bubba Wallace. We're going to go fishing in the Michael McDowell life, which has been miserable. So he could use some luck to go the other way. And I don't know how other people approach that, if they let recency bias really affect them when rostering a Michael McDowell punt, or they say, hey, it's a punt, it happens. We're not really counting on them to have good races every single week. We're not counting on them to have good races every other week. We're actually really only thinking about one out of every five races it works. So just because he's had three bad races, it really doesn't matter, because he's not supposed to have three good races. He's not supposed to have two good races. He's not even supposed to have a good race. It's about one out of every five for these punts to really work out. And it's just the nature of the beast if you're making punts. At least that's what I think should be the real approach. Not conservative, but a well-balanced, thoughtful approach would not expect huge things from your punts. On the other hand, I don't know if people have that sort of calculated, methodical approach to the punts. They probably see Michael McDowell screwed me last week, screwed me the week before, I'm not doing it again. And that should lower his ownership a little bit. Bubba Wallace will probably have higher ownership. LaJoy showed up on one of the optimals. Just because he's so cheap, and you go back in the back, and what else you got to work with? I would put LaJoy, Chastain, and Tift all in the same category of the second punt you're throwing in there. You don't love it, but you're just hoping some wonkiness happens. Maybe you get the restart madness at the end. If you get the restart madness at the end, these guys should be fine. They're not going to get huge gains because they're not likely going to be on the lead lap. So when we do that restart at the end, it doesn't matter. They're just battling the guys from 25th to 30th. But still, 25th to 30th is going to matter for a LaJoy, Chastain, or Tip. They do just enough. That works if we have to pay up for one of the extreme guys. If there's a bunch of laps at the end, cautions at the end, then of course. But I don't want to sit here on Saturday morning and project absolute madness. We don't know. But it's fun to be curious. Unless you're Dave Moody, then it's just shut up and wait for the race to happen. Don't think about the race before the race happens. You people are giving me a headache contemplating what could go wrong. You mean like contemplating what could have gone wrong at qualifying at Fontana, which all week we talked about, yeah, this is going to be a mess like always. This is going to be a mess like always. And guess what? It happened. It was a mess like always. And we're not saying it, say, I told you so. We're saying it in the fact that, why don't you do something about it beforehand? Why do you wait for it to blow up in your face, embarrass the sport, and then have to result? That's, it's not the, I told you so. It's the, we knew it was going to happen before it happened. You could have prevented it, and you didn't, and you let it embarrass. So, another thing, not to go political, but let's just look at it from an investor. So this is one of the things Yang mentions in his book, is that if you're trying to get people to buy your company, you don't want to make a lot of changes. You want to look steady, you want to look safe, you want to look secure. And when people are making a lot of changes and firing people, hiring people, changing their plans, it scares investors away. And that actually goes back to John Maynard Keynes, said this during the Great Depression. If you're making all these adjustments to businesses, or the government's doing all these things and changing things around and creating all these new programs, it scares investors from investing in the economy. When you do all these new programs and spending on this and that, it scares the investors away, and you scare the investors away, you scare money away, and actually the economy doesn't grow. NASCAR, by doing all these constant changes, is they're trying to sell NASCAR. They're trying to sell it, and you're not going to sell it if you're constantly making changes. If I'm an investor, I would be scared to death. I would just sit back and watch them continue to disintegrate, and then I jump in. And I guarantee that is what people are doing. That's not politics, so don't give me a break about that. I don't even know how I got there. I think that's good enough. But let's look at the last optimization after I kicked Ryan Preece out to the curb. There it is. Corey LaJoie bumps up. So this, I think, is the original one I got. Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, William Byron, Paul Menard, Corey LaJoie. I believe all those guys are going to be popular. Even Harvick at his price is going to be popular. Logano is going to be popular. Truex is going to be popular. Kyle Busch, because it's the same situation we were in last week. You got your punts at the bottom. You got your chalk in the middle, which was last week. It was Bowyer. It was Larson. It was Blaney. And then it was just, all right, I'm going to do some hog lineups here, hog lineups here, hog lineups here. But the difference this week so far, what I see before practice two and practice three, again, dfsnotes.com, racebefortheprize.com, if you want to buy the spreadsheet. But we don't have as much chalk in the middle. So that opens the lineup up more. I think you can go a little bit higher, because last week we had a bunch of chalk in the middle. You just threw in some punts at the top, at the bottom, and then you picked your different hog for your lineup. And hopefully you build enough lineups that you had enough with the different hogs, enough with the different punts at the bottom, and then the lock sandwich in the middle. Right now, I don't see a lock sandwich. I see Kurt Busch as a good play, but as price, he's not a lock. And my projection right now is pretty high. He's getting a 6-point FPPK because I'm giving a third place finish. That's pretty steep. That's pretty steep. I could easily dial that down to a 6th place finish, and he is no longer in the lineup. Truex is absolute chalk. Menard is not chalk because it's Paul Menard. There's enough guys in that middle this week with a Menard, with a Bowman, with a Byron, with a Ricky Stenhouse Jr., with an Austin Dillon, that you can really mix it up. Or even Ryan Newman, dare I say. I didn't even talk about him, but he's there in the more extreme mix. Chris Buescher is not completely off the board. David Reagan, if you want to get a little funky, you want to get a little weird. So there's enough plays this week to, even if you're just swapping the hogs out at the top, there's enough mix in the middle and then the mix at the punts at the bottom that I don't really see a 35 fantasy player pile up. We could get 10, which I think you would be happy with 10. And I don't even know if we'll get 10. That might be a little extreme because, you know, there's no guarantee that Martin Truex Jr., like every bad things happen. Kevin Harvick last year, you're a very smart fantasy NASCAR player, or you just had 150 entries and a bunch of cash that you said, well, I'm going to build 120 lineups with Harvick because he has been crushing, winning 3 races in a row. But just to hedge my bets, I'm also going to build 30 lineups without Harvick. And you had a ton of chalk in the back last year. So if you had enough exposure that you could do some fade Harvick lineups with all the cars that missed qualifying, then you did well. We're not going to have that this week. I don't see us having, I think it was like 18, 20, it might have been even more 20 than a bunch of guys that kind of shared lineups. And that, it's not even necessarily sharing lineups. If you kind of share the same player pool and you're mass entering, you're going to end up with the same lineups. There are people that share lineups, don't get me wrong, but we accuse people of sharing lineups probably a little too much. We point that, well, I've never accused anyone of sharing lineups, except for one person, which we know they shared lines. We got the proof that they did it. So we know what, and we called them out, and then I feel bad for calling them out. I didn't get into trouble there, but his guys tried to order a Twitter hit on me for calling him out for sharing lineups. That was an interesting issue last year. I've been around long enough that I've had a bunch of stupid things happen. Trying to just stay back in my spreadsheet lane and stay out of the stuff. But be careful accusing people of sharing, because a lot of times they just have the similar player pool, and if you're doing mass entries, you're going to end up kind of with the same lineup. So that's really not something that I'm going to worry about. That's not my lane. That's not my approach. That's not my concern. Some people ask me about that stuff, and I just try to stay out of it, man. I don't know what to tell you. Is this like the most legit industry in the world? Well, maybe not, but please tell me what industry is legit, because I'm not really aware of that one either. In every industry and in every organization or business or in every economy even, there's some shady stuff that happens, and you just try to do what you need to do to take care of yourself. And if you want to lean towards the shady side because at the end it's the ends justify the means, then that's fine. Or if you're a more moral person and says, this is dirty, I just don't feel comfortable doing it, then more power to you. But I'm not going to judge you either way. I'm just going to stay out of it. I'm going to stay in my lane, build the spreadsheet, and try to make some plays here. There it is. Check out the spreadsheet, dfsnotes.com, racefortheprize.com. If you want to get the spreadsheet, I'm going to adjust the projections. This is probably too late for you to check out the Xfinity. There will be, like, next week we got Martinsville. We got the trucks are going to be back. That'll be on Saturday. We'll have the trucks on Saturday. Say it again. What? Trucks on Saturday. And the cup race on Sunday. I would love to go. I mean, I'm just right down the road from Martinsville. It's just not going to happen. And that really is... Now I'm kind of okay with that. I think I'm okay with that. I don't know. Yeah, I wish I was in a position in life where I could just go to the race. I was in the past. No longer. Those days are gone where I could just, boom, you know what? I think I could go to the truck race this morning. Those days are gone. But we'll have the spreadsheet next week. I mean, you can actually go ahead and send me the money now. I already have the spreadsheet put together for Martinsville. So if you want to $5 me, Venmo, $5 me, PayPal, then I'll send you the link to Martinsville. It's already up and cooking. If you really want to get a jump start on your prod, don't say the word, on the way in which you build fantasy NASCAR lineups. That's how we will end. This podcast went way too long, and I know the wife is going to be upset. But... yeah, no, that's just not good. See you guys.